الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله الرحمة المهداة والنعمة المزداة والسراج المنير اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين أما بعد Dear brothers and sisters, I will today cover a subject that we spoke about before, but I feel it's a very important topic and it might be worthwhile going over it over and over again. In Surah Al-An'am, قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. Say, truly my prayer and my service of sacrifice, my life and my death are all for Allah, the cherisher of the worlds. No partner hath He. This am I commanded. And I am the first of those who bow to His will. Sincerity, selflessness, and intention behind all action. The incentive for all good work should only be the compliance with Allah's orders and His pleasure, for no worldly gains, nor hypocrisy. Ostentations, publicity, or demand of any monetary gain. Al-Ikhlas. What is the definition of Al-Ikhlas? Scholars defined it as being the following. One, to aim for Allah's pleasure in all that is said, done, in work, in life, in death, in movements, etc. Two, to single out God in all action. Three, to forget about seeing the created and only watch the Creator. Four, not to require any witnesses to actions but God. Five, and foremost, it is a function of the heart, and no deed is accepted by God if it is not purely for that. Thus the motive for any action is God's pleasure, whether that be worship, obediences, or even normal daily activities. Hence the ayah, قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. So, how important is al-ikhlas? How important is sincerity? In Surah Al-Bayyinah says, وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةَ. And they are ordained not else than to serve Allah, keeping religion pure for Him, as man by nature upright, and to establish worship, and to pay the poor's due. That is true religion. The Quran also says, قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. Say, I have been ordained to worship God, keeping it pure for Him. In the story of Prophet Yusuf, in Surah Yusuf, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَنْ رَآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. And with passion did she desire him, and he would have desired her, but he saw the evidence of his Lord, thus that we may turn away from him all evil and shameful deeds. For he was one of our servants, sincere and purified. So again, the word sincere keeps arising again and again and again. So, sincerity can save from evil. Also, sincerity can save from Satan. Iblis, the devil, said, قال ربي فانظرني إلى يوم يبعثون قال إنك من المنظرين إلى يوم الوقت المعلوم قال فبعزتك لأغوينهم أجمعين إلا عبادك منهم المخلصين. So Satan has promised that he will try to and will be able to misguide all people except the sincere ones. What about the hypocrites? إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار ولن تجد لهم نصيرا إلا الذين تابوا وأصلحوا واعتصموا بالله وأخلصوا دينهم لله فأولئك هم المؤمنون. Hypocrites are in the lowest of the law of hellfire except those who do what? They have to do four things. They have to repent. They have to correct the wrongdoing. They have to follow Allah's way. And most importantly, they have to become sincere to God. Surah Al-Ikhlas that we all know of. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. The scholars have said that this surah represents one third of the Quran. Fulfilling it fulfills ikhlas. Say He is Allah, the one and only. So direct worship, purpose of life, intention only to God. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ الله الصمد. Allah is the eternal absolute. Seek refuge in God in hardship. He is the begotten one. He begetteth not, nor he has been begotten, and there is none like unto him. In the hadith, a man asked Prophet, if a man goes to jihad for reward and reputation, the Prophet said there would be nothing in it for him. He repeated the question three times, and the Prophet said, God only accepts deeds that are pure for him and intended for his pleasure alone. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبَلْ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ إِلَّا مَا كَانَ لَهُ خَالِصًا وَابْتُغِيَ بِهِ وَجْهًا. Our levels or our grades vary according to our level of ikhlas. Because it is a secret that only God knows. It is a secret between man and God. God counts good and bad deeds. If someone initiates a good deed but does not carry it out, it is counted as one good deed, one hasana. If he or she initiates and carries it out, God counts it as 10 up to 700 and up to many multiplies. Thus, it is the intention that determines the reward of the deed, and it can be multiplied many, many times. The only savior from life's catastrophes is sincerity to God. Seek Allah's mercy and help during trials and tribulations, and make one's good and pious deeds as an agency for securing the same. To sum up, ikhlas or sincerity is to single out God in all actions and to intend God's pleasure in everything in life, and to see only God in your deeds, not to watch people, and not to seek witness in any actions. And we need to remember that it is a function of the heart without which no deed is accepted. It is the gate to true religion. It can save from evil deeds. It can be a protector from Satan, a shaitan. It is the savior from hypocrisy. It represents one third of the Quran. It is the guarantor to God's acceptance of deeds. It determines the level of righteousness, and it saves from life's trials and tribulations. So, if it is that important, how can we identify it? What sort of scales can we use to measure the level of our ikhlas? Each one of us can measure himself against these points. Point number one, look out to how easy is it for you performing obedience to God and worship. Is it easy, or does it always seem very hard? Look out to how much you enjoy your obedience and good deeds. When you're obedient, when you're doing good deeds, do you feel that you're enjoying yourself, or do you feel that you're doing something that you're forced to do? Point number three is an inside feeling that all deeds are purely for God's pleasure. Do you actually feel that your deeds are for God's pleasure, or is it because you want other people to watch you doing them? Next point is always accusing oneself of being insincere, and always be frightful of being insincere. This is the guaranteed way to be sincere. Point number five, does people's pleasure or displeasure affect you? If people's pleasure or displeasure are equal, then you are sincere. Point number six, a sincere person doesn't change when others do. So if you are doing something, say praying Jum'ah, but everybody decided not to come here because they are frightened of being branded as terrorists, do you just follow, or do you do it because you're doing it for God's sake? Thus, intention becomes the center point in one's life. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله الذي يقبل التوبة عن عباده ويعفو عن السيئات ويعلم ما تفعلون ويستجيب الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ويزيدهم من فضله والكافرون لهم عذاب شديد وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله إمام الأنبياء وسيد المصلحين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين أما بعد. سهل بن سعد asked the Prophet, what is the hardest on oneself? The Prophet replied, it is sincerity, al-ikhlas, for there is nothing in it for oneself. Makhul, one of the followers, said that no slave or worshipper is sincere to God for 40 days, but the springs of wisdom show in his face and his tongue. So how can we achieve this sincerity? The key to sincerity is intention. The hadith says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Intention determines the word of a person's actions, and he will attain what he intended. The end result of an action is determined by the intention of the action. So determine your intention before taking any action. A small deed can be exaggerated by intention, and vice versa. A large deed can be belittled by intention. So we need to learn to initiate intention in matters of worship and obedience, example going to the mosque, pilgrimage, etc. In matters of daily life, intention can change normal actions to worship. For example, such things as studying, working, wealth, eating. If you do these things with the intention to please God, for example, if you intend to eat to give you the strength to worship God, then eating becomes a worship. And in matters out of our control, example, if a person has a pure intention to perform pilgrimage or umrah and is not able to do it, he will get the thawab for pilgrimage or umrah. If a person intends to wake up to pray fajr, provided he is sincere about it, but doesn't wake up, he will still be rewarded as if he woke up and prayed fajr in time. So we should all learn how to multiply our intentions. So if you're going to the mosque to pray Jum'ah or otherwise, create several intentions for the action. So you go there with the intention to learn, you go there with the intention to pray, you go there with the intention to avoid disobedience by spending some time in the mosque, you go there with the intention of meeting other brothers and sisters, or to perform i'tikaf, which can be for any length of time. So it is the same action. But if you have all these intentions, you will get thawab for all these things. So we need to learn to be able to multiply our intentions for good deeds. On the other hand, we need to avoid the opposite. So we need to avoid hypocrisy. There is a very serious hadith that says that the first people who will be thrown on their faces in hellfire is a martyr, a scholar, and a big spender. It's a long hadith, but to cut it short, because we're running out of time, the martyr asks, why did I go to hell? I fought in your cause and I died for you. And God says, no, you did not fight in my cause. You fought for people to say that you are brave, and it has been said, and he's thrown into hellfire. The scholar asks God, why am I in hellfire? I have learned Quran and I have taught it to other people. And God says, yes, you've done that because you wanted people to look at you and give you special privileges as a scholar, and you have attained what you intended. So you go to hellfire. And a big spender who asks, I've spent a lot of money on the poor, why am I in hellfire? And God says, you've spent it because you wanted people to say that you're a big spender, and it's been said. So whatever you intended, you got. We need to be very careful of hypocrisy, because there are several forms of hypocrisy. There's the overt form of hypocrisy, where a person does a deed intended to be seen, but there is hidden hypocrisy. For example, a person claiming to be extremely tired because he's been up all night praying. Or even a more hidden form, where a person starts to improve his deeds when people look around. So if he's praying at home, he'd probably pray very quickly, وَإِنَّا أَتَنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ in every single rak'ah. But in front of people, if somebody is watching, he will start reading Surah Al-Baqarah, just to show that he's a pious person. Avoiding good deeds or performing good deeds to avoid being a hypocrite can be hypocrisy, because you should not be watching people at all. You should be watching only God. And to desire for people to see you when you do it in secret, again, can be a form of hypocrisy. So, in the hadith, Prophet Muhammad says, avoid hidden hypocrisy, for it can be less conspicuous than a black ant on a dark rock in a pitch dark night. There is the dua that we should perform 3 times in the morning and 3 times in the evening. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'an a'lamu wa astaghfiruka bima la a'lamu. O Lord, I beseech your help from shirk, from something I know, and repent to you for what I don't know. So the take home message is, learn intention, multiply your intention, and avoid hypocrisy. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فاتبعون احسنه. اللهم اغفر لنا ما اسررنا وما اعلنا وما انت اعلم به منا. اللهم انا نذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ابدا ما احييتنا. وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا. وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا. والزم قلوبنا حفظ كتابك كما علمتنا. واشرح به صدورنا. ونور به قلوبنا. واطلق به السنتنا. واعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اقول قولي هذا. اقول الصلاه.